Been sitting on the snooze for some time now. I'll say a little birdie told me, but I don't know if it's a little birdie or not. But this has to do with the county election. I don't know if anybody's been following the county election. We're having one, if you know it or not. It's coming up in November. And one of our sitting county council members was ousted in the primary. It's a way to say it. He didn't get as much votes as the competitor or the competition, let's say it that way, and thus knocked him out of any chance for his next term. So I have been trying to get a hold of that individual. Tony Schmelick was his name. He, you know, comes down the area. What's that area number? Probably 1, 2, or 3, something. I go, what is it? 2, that's what I thought. Anyhow, and I offered my condolences, and he says, don't condole me yet. I said, what's that mean? And now we have him here. He's going to tell me why I don't have to feel sorry for him. Tony Schmelick, good afternoon. Councilman Tony Schmelick from District 2. What say you, brother?
Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Frank. Thanks for having me on. I am here today to announce my candidacy as a write-in candidate for District 2 here in the county.
No way.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you why. It's a lot of folks are, I don't want to say disappointed, you know, in I would love to have said that I, you know, lost the race and I could get behind the Republican nominee.
Right. That's Steve McKay, right?
It's unfortunate, yes. It's unfortunate, though, that, you know, I can't do that because Steve McKay does not represent the Republican values and conservative views that I have been representing the district for the last 4 years. And I'm very excited to just say that we're going to change that around. We're going to dispel some of the things that he said, some of the lies that he spewed about me, the rhetoric that was spread out about me, and also about the misinformation that he said that I had done. There's a lot of things out there that I think folks need to know that were not true about me. And it's unfortunate that Mr. McKay decided to attack me personally, not really attack my record, because he couldn't attack my voting record, and he went after me to disparage my name, and he didn't want to talk about the issues. And, you know, the biggest issues here are schools, roads, okay, and growth. And Steve McKay tried to peg me as someone who wanted to have this incredible growth going around. Well, I got news for folks. In 4 years, I voted one time to increase the capacity of homes in this entire county, along with it was a 7-0 vote on the council, and it was for an increase of a total of 35 homes in Urbana. Other than that, Steve McKay has misrepresented what I have done, and he continues to say that I support the builders and developers. But there's not one vote that shows that I have supported this in the entire 4 years that I've been there that has won or swayed anybody to think
anything.
Let's
back up, first of all. Can you be a writing candidate? I don't educate the listeners.
So the great thing is, you know, anybody can actually be a write-in candidate. But what you really need to do is go down and file with the state. So I went down to the election boards. I went down there this morning. And the great thing is you can file as a write-in candidate. You just have to write my name, Tony Schmelick. And the best thing of this is that my name does appear on the state website. So if you look up the Frederick County Election Board, It directs you to the state website. My name will appear on the ballots that are mailed out to folks, the sample ballots that are mailed out before the election. And also as a write-in candidate, it will be posted in all of the polling places that in the precincts where I will be running, so folks that will know that I am running as a write-in will have an opportunity to actually write me in.
Well, that makes it a little bit easier. And so they don't have, you know, when you say your name, Tony Schmelick, Frank would spell it a lot different than I would. He would probably be close to the spelling. But your name will actually appear somewhere that people can copy it and write it. Is that true?
Well, it'll be posted, so folks do know how to do that. However, the election board has been very clear. It just has to be close. It doesn't have to be perfect.
Oh, okay.
But I think, you know, the important thing to understand is why I'm doing this. We need to dispel some untruths that were spewed during the primary election, and why I don't believe Steve McKay or Lisa are the right folks for this job here in District 2.
Okay.
I mean, the choice between them is really between two Democrats, in my humble opinion, because they're both saying the exact same thing. They don't want to have a conversation about responsible growth. What they want to have is a conversation about zero growth. They don't have any solutions or answers to the problems. And over the last 3 years, I have offered solutions and hopefully possible things that would actually alleviate the problems that we have. You know, Steve McKay told me one time early on, he said, I don't ever want to see Route 75 improve because it'll only bring more development. Well, the fact is, an improved 75 will alleviate an already overburdened road, create a safer environment for our children, and ease congestion at critical points as a result of over 30 years of bad decision-making by former County Commissioner Jan Gardners and others over the past 24 years, which Steve McKay fully supports. If you go around my district, his signs are all next to Jan Gardner and Kai Hagan. So if he's a Republican, why isn't he running on the Republican slate? I'll tell you why. Because he's not representing the conservative values that District 2 deserves. That's just one thing. He also lied when he stated the following. Tony Schmelick wants 75 to be a four-lane road. The fact is, I recognized, and this is what I made in my comment, and they took my words completely out of context, and I recognized that the proposed Monrovia Town Center, as part of their agreement, would be required to improve a stretch of road nearly 1 mile long from the post office in Monrovia to the other side of the bank just south of 80. This improvement, as proposed, would have fixed the interchange at 75 and 80, ease congestion, improve flow, and overall quality of life for everybody in that part of the district. And to suggest that I wanted a four-lane highway in front of my own house 2.5 miles away and expect the taxpayers to pay for this is just sheer nonsense and nonsensical. The fact is, the Monrovia Town Center was going to pay for 1 mile of road improvements, no different than Natality Properties has improved Urbana and put a nice four-lane bypass up there and improved traffic problems there. So the fact is, you know, we have to get out what I've really done for the constituents here for the last 3.5 years, and not what Steve McKay says I haven't done or will done, because I have been working hard to protect the interests of my constituents in Monrovia and Green Valley. And they need to know I have never, never voted for one new home in Green Valley or Monrovia in 3.5 years.
Thank you, Frank. You obviously haven't had you never had a debate or anything. This was just you running, him saying you running.
So unfortunately, and I'm glad you brought that up. And full disclosure, we have not talked before this, have we?
No, I have not
mentioned a thing to you.
No.
So I've got a staff right now. We've got a great website, tonyfor2.com, Tony, F-O-R, the number 2.com. And I am challenging Lisa and Steve to town hall debates in the near future. They were both emailed these requests today. You know what? And I apologize. The dates I don't have here, they are on my website, tonyfor2.com. And you can see that there's going to be one town hall debate held at the library in Urbana. And there's going to be another one at the Methodist Church I'm forgetting the name of the church in Newmarket. Mm-hmm. There will be another town hall debate there in Newmarket, and I'm looking to set up debates in Linganore and also in Liberty Town and Mount Airy if possible. I'm inviting them. They're going to be open town hall debates. I want people to ask any question they want, and hopefully we're going to find a nonpartisan moderators. I'll even take the folks that they want to moderate these discussions, and I will take them on head-on, one-on-one, for all the things that they have accused me of doing in the district and I haven't done.
And exciting. I think the word exciting is better. Mayor Burns from Winslow Burns. Not Winslow Burns.
Yep, that's me.
I knew
Winslow
it.
Winslow Burns.
Well, why did you wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hang on. In fact, I've known you all my life. Why did you put his last name down?
That's who called in. Mayor Winslow of...
Well, it's not Mayor Winslow. It's Burns.
Yeah.
Burns.
Never mind.
Of Newmarket.
Mayor, I'm sorry about that. It's Frank answered the phone.
You knew he was mayor of Newmarket.
Yes, I knew that.
Yeah. I've been around for a while.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Well, it's great to have you call in. We have Tony Schmelick here. Is there anything you want to add, subtract, or?
I sure do. I thank you for taking my call, number one. I just wanted to call in and voice my support for Tony. I think some of my comments will corroborate a lot of what Tony has to say. But first, I want to say that I find Tony to be very professional. I find him to be a problem solver. He's not a bomb thrower. He works well with others, as exampled by, you know, trying to put together some amendments to the zoning for Buzzard Brothers, the mulch business in Monrovia across from Newmarket. He was very cognizant of how sensitive the town is to the county zoning around the town, but he also understood that that was a long-going business that he wanted to give consideration, and he and I had some talks about it while he was, you know, trying to solve that problem. Likewise, the town and the county executive are at odds over a water service area agreement, and he tried to work with some of the other county councilmen to try to find a way to resolve that problem, which doesn't look like it's going to be resolved. On the other hand, you know, you have Steve McKay, and I feel that he's the antithesis of Tony. you know, he came to a town hall meeting, a public hearing a couple of years ago, and was very disrespectful to the town council when he gave his testimony. He leaned up against the wall with his legs and arms crossed. He was kind of condescending about the facts that our engineers presented. And then subsequent to that, just a couple of weeks ago, there was an article in the Fredericton News Post about the standoff between the town and the county executive, and he kind of chimed in on one of the posts and attributed this statement to me. He, being the mayor, claimed that he wanted to make sure that New Market Elementary School would be severely overcrowded to give New Market a better chance of getting a new elementary school from the county. There is just nowhere in the record, he can't go back to the tape of that meeting or find anything in writing anywhere where I made any kind of statement like that. And, you know, this is sort of what you can expect out of, Steve's an activist. And activists are single-purposed. And so they'll say anything or do anything. They're just basically any means to an end to get what they want. And I feel like, you know, if you're going to serve the people, you got to be factful and you have to be truthful. If not, you're not going to be a problem solver. You're not going to, you know, have the trust of your residents. And therefore, you're, in the long run, you're not going to, you know, you're not going to be effective.
Well, it's fascinating to hear from you, Mayor. I appreciate that. I'm sure you have that endorsement, Tony. That's one that
I would like to thank the mayor for that. Yeah, I really do appreciate that, you know. And, you know, to go to that point, just so you know, on Steve McKay's literature, he put up this thing that says, Tony missed 13 meetings. You know, and it goes on to explain, you know, they were Monrovia Town Center meetings, but it was very clear the intent was to suggest that as your council member, your representative, that I had missed 13 meetings, which would have meant that I probably missed 25% of my meetings as a working council member. And I can just tell you that in 4 years, I have missed two meetings. Yeah. And I watched both of them, and both of them were family events and functions that I was going to that I just could not get out of, and made sure that there wasn't any critical votes that I was pretty sure that weren't going to go that I didn't support, actually.
So when he says you missed 13 meetings, he's talking about the Monrovia Township meetings.
That's correct.
Or whatever.
So long, months and years before I even ran for office, he suggested that. And that's unfortunate. And so it's just one of those things, you know, as an activist, you know, Steve, you know, his group is supported, you know, to give you an idea of the difference between us, his group, the rail that he has supported, first of all, has caused the county to have to defend and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions, to defend lawsuits, of which the county has won every single one except one. And they support developments. Now, here's a complete contrast to us. And I've heard his group and members of his group say this. They support this idea of having one lot, you know, 1 acre lots like that has been spread out around down in the part in Kemptown, Green Valley, Monrovia. Well, that is the definition of urban sprawl. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to bring, you know, water and sewer into these communities, and on 200 acres, if you can only put 96 homes and you run a few miles of road, that's a lot of infrastructure for 96 homes. Well, today was smart growth. And quite frankly, you know, I'm going to thank the Democrat governors that, you know, instituted the idea of smart growth and compacting our growth, which is policies that we're following today. We could take that same 200 acres and put maybe 600 or 700 homes. And that might sound like a lot, but the point is we're saving our farmland and we have a need for development and we need to move forward. And, you know, to that end, though, and then we have a larger tax base to support our schools and our roads and our infrastructure, which is someplace else that it has been misrepresented. I am the only Republican on the county council in 4 years that voted to raise impact fees on new construction so that we would have more money for our schools. But they're not telling you that. They're also spewing rhetoric that mitigation fees for schools aren't paying enough. Well, I got some numbers for you. If you don't mind me, give me a sec. In 2014, Jan Gardner, when we became county councilman, the very first year and the very first budget said, hey, there's no money there. We don't know because they really hadn't started anything yet. And I was like, well, hold on. We know there's money there. And there was a zero in the budget from Jan Gardner and folks. And we said, hold on, what's wrong with this picture? I had already known. Someone had called me up, a developer, said, hey, you know what? I know we personally cut a check for $300,000. I said, well, I can't do anything about it. This is the information they're giving us, and they're saying that there's no funds. Well, here's the facts that came out after the fact. In 2015, $3 million was raised in mitigation fees. In 2016, $3.5 million. Now, this is where it starts to get interesting. In 2017, $17.5 million in mitigation fees. Now, these are above the impact fees. In 2018, the budget allocated $30,200,000 in mitigation fees. And do you know what's budgeted for 2019 in mitigation fees? $18,800,000. All total, in 5 years, developers
have paid
$72 million in and above impact fees, which the builders pay at when they pull a building permit. Developers pay at lot recordation months and months and months before you even get to build the house. So the idea that the developers aren't actually coming up with the right money is just a falsehood. And people need to know the facts. Now, I have a suggestion for you. Let's think out of the box. You want an idea? You know, because the prevailing wage has been put into effect, if we get more than 50% of our funds from the state, then we have to pay the prevailing wage. When that law went into effect in 2014, it cost, the average cost of a school went up by 15%. Well, we've collected these extra fees. Why doesn't Frederick County then pay 70% of the school, only get 30% from the state, and save that 15% in prevailing wage? Why don't we start thinking out of the box and using our money properly? There's no reason. There is no reason we're not constructing another elementary school, not just Urbana, but the next one over here in the East County outside of Lake Linganore, which we just approved for priority funding the other day. That school should not be waiting until 2020. That thing should be fast-tracked and moved up right away because the developers and the builders have provided the funds for it.
Okay. Circus. Tony Schmelick, sitting council member, District 2, defeated in the primary. He's back in the race again, friend. Today, he has made it official that he is now a write-in candidate for District 2, and all the paperwork filed. You're just on the out and about?
I'm on the out and about.
That's all right, good. Before I ask any questions, we offer the opportunity for callers at 301-694-9363, 301-694-9363. You can call, you can text. There comes a text is coming in. Also, Frank, give them the good news that wherever you are in the United States of America, to include Cleveland, you're now able to hear us on WFMD.com. It's a free app. Go to your app store and get it. Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
this,
let me.
This one will be good. Go ahead.
Let me ask you, Councilman, how this write-in works. Now, Tim knows a lot more about the long-term, history of local politics. But can anybody write in? Are there going to be other write-in candidates?
Well, certainly anybody can write in, and if they decide to, they should go to the State Board of Elections and actually do it that way. Because then,
so there is a process.
There is a process, but I was also told you can actually be a write-in and they will recognize those votes, but you won't have the same opportunity you will if you go and actually register with the state. Like I said, if you go to the website today, the state election board, you know, my name now is listed as an official write-in candidate. And like I said, they will be posting the names of write-in candidates in the polling places. And so what we will be doing is we'll be getting our signs back out there and we'll just, you know, having to encourage people to write in. And I got to tell you, it's in the last election, you know, someone ran against me as a write-in. He got almost 1,000 votes and he actually did not do it the way I'm doing. As far as I know, he didn't officially announce with the election board, but he did quite well. And he actually didn't, I don't think, put that much effort into it. You know, he got his base riled up and that was great. So we're going to go out there though. We got some fundraisers coming up that will be posted on our website, tonyfor2.com, that we will be posting, and hopefully we can get a lot of turnout for that. Like I said, I'm also challenging the Democrat and the Republican nominees for the district to have town hall debates with me. I have two places already reserved, the Urbana Library in September and and I'm shooting myself, I can't remember, the church in Newmarket will be having a town hall debate too, and I'm looking for three other venues also.
Are you getting any feedback from Frederick County Republicans? Because you did compete in a primary and there is a Republican candidate. How does that work as far as...
So to be clear, you know, the Republican Party has their bylaws, and the state bylaws say they have to stand by the presumptive nominee or, you know, the person who won in the primary. That's fine. I don't want to get into the politics here of meaning – I don't want to get into the interplay, if you will, of Frederick County politics, Democratic Party, Republican Party. This is about the District 2. This is about someone who misrepresented my position, my votes, and what I have and have not done for the district for the citizens of District 2, and who would be a better representative for them. I believe that I have done a great job, not just a fair job, but a great job representing those citizens down in District 2 and all their best interests. I have fought against tax increases for the last 4 years. And unfortunately, we don't separate our budget here in the county. We don't separate the school budget from the rest of the operating budget to have two different votes. But I argued for higher teacher salaries. I argued that we do need to have more money on the teacher side and on the school side. I absolutely support more increases, and I absolutely support Jan Gardner's efforts to raise MOE for the past 4 years. But here's a little fact that I think folks need to understand. In the last 4 years, our budget rose by $84 million. Of the $84 million, only $24 million was new revenue only from keeping the constant rate instead of the constant yield, which means the new construction that's out there, the improving economy, sales tax and income tax accounted for over $60 million in revenue. Jan Gardner didn't have to raise taxes to get $60 million in new revenue. But yet she accused the previous county board of raising taxes, or the county commissioners of raising taxes by $87 million. Well, that's not true. The fact is they rolled the fire tax into the general fund, which was $47 million. And so they only raised taxes by about $40 million, only by keeping the constant rate. Building had almost completely dropped off during these times. And so we didn't have that to depend on. They made a lot of cuts, made a lot of hard decisions, which Jan Gardner has benefited from. And unfortunately, rather than giving back to the people, they continued to tax, and I voted against them. And I would point out that Steve McKay has publicly gave testimony. 3 out of the 4 years that we had budgets testified in support of Jan Gardner and the Democrats' tax raises. Well, that's not a physically conservative Republican that he is saying that he is. He has never come to a Republican meeting that I've ever seen or witnessed him to, and I've asked the Republican, you know, president here locally, have you ever seen Steve McKay come to a Republican party? You know, so this is about District 2 and about the way he's done things and the way he has portrayed himself to be. He has represented, he has publicly supported Republicans for Jan Gardner. Well, tell me which part of Republican that is. Well, because it's not mine.
On the other hand, you had said at the onset when you first came on earlier in the hour that you had been accused of being totally supportive of everything that builders and developers wanted to do by your opponent in the primary. But now you're not saying that you don't support builders and developers, are you?
I'm saying that I am for responsible growth. I'm saying that when we have opportunity, we need to take advantage of it. And sometimes we are growing. There's no doubt about that. There's some things that we can't change. I can't change what the last Board of County Commissioners did. But going forward, we can make better decisions to see how it can actually benefit us. You know, some of those DRRAs were bad. I'm not going to defend all of them, but I will defend a couple of them. And one I will defend is the one that Mayor Winslow Burns brought up. And the fact is, we have a developer that is now in the town of Newmarket. And quite frankly, these towns ought to have their own autonomy. They have their own agreement with that developer builder over there. That builder developer is going to build a road, a bypass around the town of Newmarket. Now, who does that benefit? If you think it just benefits the town of Newmarket, you're kind of crazy, because all the businesses in the town of Newmarket would love to have people traveling by their businesses every single day. But what it does benefit, it eases congestion on Gas House Pike and on 144 for the citizens of Oakdale, Linganore, Spring Ridge, and Holly Hills. But Jan Gardner shut that down because she wants the town of Newmarket to take over what essentially is a county road that will serve the citizens of Frederick County. And, you know, and I don't mind. You know, at this point, I get tired of the lies. Jan Gardner said to me the reason she's doing this is because she believes that builder will only do so much, and then they'll stop doing it before they have to build the bridge to actually complete the bypass. Well, I put that in the same thing as, I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but when you have a contract, you can hold people's feet to the fire.
All right, let's take a call from Chris, see what Chris has to say. Chris, you're live local with Tony Shumlin, who is the councilman, District 2, and wishes to remain the same. Chris?
I guess we lost Chris.
Chris, goodbye, Chris. Do you know Chris? Okay, we'll just leave.
I don't know Chris. Okay. Well, I know my son, Chris.
Well, it could be him. I don't know if your son's calling or not.
But he's standing in here videotaping.
He's pretty safe.
That's
there.
That's good.
One question I have is, you're talking a good game here.
I've walked a good game. I've worked this. I have these things that I'm saying today. Mm-hmm. I have said these same things over and over as a councilman
for 4 years
on the dais for 4 years.
What happened in the primary?
So in the primary,
did you think that? I'm not attacking.
Fair question.
Yeah, because I think it is. Did you overestimate or underestimate your opponent?
I would say I underestimated, but I didn't. I don't think that we didn't try hard. We knocked on 1,900 doors, and I personally probably. I know I knocked on probably 600 or 700 of those myself. Mm-hmm. I probably talked to no less than 70 to 80 different people at those doors, and I got great feedback over and over again. Mm-hmm. I think the voter turnout had a lot to do with it. And,
up or down?
It was incredibly lower. It was so there was approximately 3,600 or so that showed up this time, and when I ran 4 years ago, there was 4,200.
A lot of people didn't even know there was a primary. I think
I got to tell you, it's really. Yeah, that's a totally different story, but the apathy out there is really unfortunate. And, you know, we got to encourage people. You know, people have to be involved.
Yeah.
They just, because if you're not involved, then things are happening. You wake up and go, why are my taxes raised? Uh-huh. Why did this go up?
Exactly. You
know? And if you're not paying attention.
Very good. All right. Anything else, Frank, you have for Tony? We're going to let him cut him loose here. Tony brought his production crew with him. And, of course, Tony, thank you for giving us an exclusive. And, I'd ask you to meet with WFMD News.
Can I just add one
thing? You can do that. You're going to anyhow. So no, Tony.
I just think these are kind of extraordinary circumstances
yes.
in which I will have an opportunity to reach all the voters. So I'm not running as a Republican. I'm truly running as someone who's an independent voice who has represented the council or represented the voters of District 2 for the last 3.5 years, almost four years now. And I'm on their side as an independent with balanced viewpoints and experience to go with it.
Well said, Tony. Tony Smelik, who is a write-in candidate now for District 2. Looking for your feedback when we come back from a very short break. So we thank you for that breaking news today that Tony Smelik is going to try a write-in. And it's open for discussion. You know, I mean, he...
Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, he was defeated in the primary and feels that he... You know, can do more. I don't know. It's a lot of different feeds coming into us of what they think. And, you know, who knows?
I know we're going to be hearing a lot more about elections now. We're getting closer to midterms and local
elections.
Ain't that
the truth, Bubby?
And very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The two candidates, party candidates,
mm-hmm.
Lisa Jaronsky. I apologize if I
Jaronsky. It's Jaronsky, isn't it?
Jaronsky, if
yeah.
I... messed up your name, Mr. Unsky.
But, you messed mine up every day. You can mess hers up.
And Steve McKay, the winner of the Republican primary, were the two candidates. And now the incumbent councilman from that district, who lost the primary election to Mr. McKay, Tony Smelik, is a write-in candidate.
Yeah.
How have there been write-in candidates in the past? Or
I've never known
one. Have
there
been successful?
I...
writing candidates in the past.
You know, that question was
in Frederick
asked.
County.
I do not, and please correct me if I get this wrong. I do not remember any writing candidate ever being elected. Now, if somebody say, oh, yeah, what about this? Well, please, because I don't remember. I remember people who have written in for House of Delegates in Frederick County who lost the primary. I've seen that. I've seen several write-in candidacies, but I don't know of any that have been successful in the past in Frederick County. It's no question Tony would admit, and I didn't ask him, but I'm sure he would admit it's going to be a tough hoe. I mean, because first of all, you know, like he says, the Republicans, I'm assuming, would support their Republican candidate that would be part of the team if it's a party politics. So that kind of puts him out as an independent. What do you think, Frank?
Well, I think the big issue, especially in District 2, Newmarket, that whole area, is growth. And there's a bit of division in the Republican Party
in
Frederick
is.
County over the growth issue.
We'll find more about that
McKay
tomorrow.
McKay was mm-hmm. successful in beating Smelik by talking about that Mr. Smelik just is too close to the developers and the schools are too overcrowded and the roads and et cetera.
Whether it's true or not.
Well, I guess the voters to agree.
They'll decide, exactly. But I'm going to tell you, Republicans, if you don't come out and vote, don't expect to get any offices in any of these seats. You got to come out and vote. That's the way it works. You know, it's not yours because you're a Republican or it's not yours because you're a Democrat. Come out and vote. And, I mean, this is early September we're talking about this. But if you don't like you say, you have no reason to complain because you let it go by. Right, Frank? Right.
Well, here's the interesting thing. This is more national, but I think it's less for the candidates about persuading people, because I think people these days, as opposed to the past, are less persuadable. They are on one side or another. I think it's about turnout.
It's about getting your side to turn out. Without question. Yeah, without question.
On both sides.
Yeah, and it's sad because a lot of all of the candidates, and I say this oftentimes, that they work themselves into a frizzy. It's not easy out there. Can you imagine knocking on even 600 doors? Man, I don't even like to knock on my own door. And you humble yourself because, you know, you're walking in, I don't care if the person votes Republican the last 10 times, you knock on the door. First of all, you knock on my door, I don't want to talk to you.
I'm talking about the issues. I mean, there are less people that you can persuade.
Yes, but I'm telling you how hard it is for a candidate.
There are less people close to the middle.
Yes, but there's also so much work to be done by the candidates. I mean, I don't know how you sit back and expect to get elected. So, in my humble opinion.
I didn't at this point want to corner Mr. Shemlick on the accusation of his opponent who won the Republican primary, Steve McKay, who said that all his campaign financing comes from developers.
Who's Tony? We should have asked him. I would have been glad to ask that question.
Oh, we will. Yeah. I will.
Oh, we get closer.
Before November, yeah.
And I would hope, the challengers, I mean, of course, he's out on the outside trying to get the insiders who have nothing to gain.
But he's got one thing going for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's the incumbent. He's got the name recognition. Right.